Lecture topic, Moderation versus Extremism.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man walahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Faqad qala jalla wa ala fi kitabihi al-majid wa furqanihi al-hamid. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. والذين إذا أنفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقتروا وكان بين ذلك قواما وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام ما عال من اقتصد أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers and elders, amongst the blatant accusations and the derogatory remarks and the insulting comments that are leveled both against Islam and the Muslims, one is the accusation of extremism and the lack of moderation. From time to time, we hear of the extremist Muslim and the moderate Muslim. At the onset, let me say, if anybody has studied Islam passionately and objectively, then he will understand and realize that these comments are absurd, if not bizarre. We condemn extremism in the strongest possible words. However, we beg to differ on the definition of extremism. In the present climate, if I may contextualize the word extremism, then it is don't be devout in your faith, don't be diligent in your principles, don't be religious in your worship, but then indulge in another form of extremism, and that is in merrymaking. This form of extremism is accepted, is welcomed, it's promoted, it's encouraged. So this is the contrast what we see. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran regarding this ummah, there is no extreme Muslim and moderate Muslim. Allah refers to Islam as a moderate life and a moderate religion. So, if things are put into perspective, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, we've created you as a balanced nation. We've made you a moderate nation. لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ, and it is by virtue of this moderation that you'll be privileged with being summoned in the noblest of trials, and that is to give evidence in the favor of the prophets on the day of Qiyamah. When Sayyidina Nuh will stand up and say, oh Allah, I conveyed my message, his nation will belie him, then it is the ordinary people of this ummah that will be brought forward and give evidence in favor of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam that yes, he did convey his message. It is through the Quran that we understand it. So this ummah has been created as a balanced nation, as a moderate nation. In fact, Allah speaks about an incident that had happened in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that at the conquest of Makkah, now if you know basic Islamic history, you will understand, at the conquest of Makkah, there was this perception amongst the polytheists, amongst the disbelievers, that either you embrace the faith of Islam or you flee for safety. There is no third option. We see it at 94 at the fall of apartheid and the advent of democracy. Embrace the new ruling party, or then move elsewhere if you whinging and whining and you're unhappy, then move abroad or else embrace the new ruling party. So this was the perception amongst the polytheists, amongst the disbelievers, that if Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam governs and dominates over Arabia, then embrace his faith or else leave here and move elsewhere. Ikramah, the son of Abu Jahl, he said, I was amongst those people who decided to flee from Makkah. And I said, I will not embrace this faith. So he boarded a boat, and this is mentioned in the tafasir, and as he was sailing in the water, جَاءَتْهُمْ رِيحٌ عَاصِفٌ, Allah sent a strong wind. The wind came and surrounded and engulfed them. And as is the nature of man, when he's in a crisis, then he worships Allah exclusively. فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُ وَإِذَا غَشِيَهُمْ مَوْجٌ كَالظُّلَلِ دَعَوُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, Allah says that when the storm gripped them like a cloud, and they were in a crisis, they were in a predicament, دَعَوُ اللَّهَ, they worship Allah, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, negating the powers of others, exclusively focusing on Allah. Typically, like you would find a person who has been hospitalized and who perhaps is in ICU and medically the hope is looking bleak. At that time, the words on his tongue is only Allah. فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرْ, but when we take them to shore, when we take them to shore or to land, then فَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدْ, Allah says majority of them revert to their extremism of disbelief, while a few of them adopt Islam. But it is noteworthy at this juncture, Allah makes reference to Islam by giving the term moderation. Allah does not say they embrace Islam. Allah says they embrace moderation. Allah makes categoric reference to Islam by giving it the title of moderation. In other words, they abandon the extremism of polytheism and they adopt the moderation of Islam, the balance. And amongst them was Ikrama, that when the storm gripped him, he said, لَإِنْ أَنْجَانَ اللَّهُ مِنْ هَذَا, if Allah grants me safety and shelter and rescues me, لَأَرْجِعَنَّ إِلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ, I will return to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wala adha'anna yadi fi yadihi, I will put my hand in his hand. So when Allah brought him to land, he came and he accepted Islam. So what I'm saying is, this is a clear explanation. This is the clear explanation that the very definition of Islam is a moderate religion. Furthermore, if you see, then you know extremism has been condemned not only in Islam, extremism, but like I said, we differ on the definition of extremism. In present day climate, the understanding of extremism is totally different. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the incident of Sayyidina Isa in the Quran. Now, Jesus, peace be upon him, has been revered like other prophets have in the Quran. And Allah spoke about the fact that he blessed him with the Injil. And it's important for healthy dialogue as well, that we know our stance on the position of Jesus and other prophets, peace be upon them. Allah said, ثُمَّ قَفَّيْنَا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ بِرُسُلِنَا وَقَفَّيْنَا بِعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْإِنْجِيلَ. Then we sent prophets in succession. And we followed it by Jesus, the son of Mary, peace be upon both of them. وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْإِنْجِيلَ. And we favored Jesus, that is Isa alayhi salam, with the Bible, with the Injil. وَجَعَلْنَا فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ رَأْفَةً وَرَحْمَةً. Then Allah praised the disciples of Isa in the Quran. I mean, this is important that we understand our faith. Allah praised the companions, the Sahaba, the disciples of Isa, peace be upon him. In fact, Allah used a very similar description which he used in the praise of Sahaba. When Allah spoke of Sahaba, Allah said, رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ, they mutually have love amongst themselves. Then Allah spoke of the companions of Isa, and Allah said, وَجَعَلْنَا فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ رَأْفَةً وَرَحْمَةً. We favored the hearts of the disciples of Isa with softness, with tenderness, with love and mercy. But as we know, Isa alayhi salam was lifted to the heavens. And after his ascension to the heavens, and evil started becoming common and dominant in the community, it became difficult for the pious Muslim. As we find today, the world is becoming hostile for the believer regardless of his faith. The believer is under attack. Whatever faith he belongs to, if he is devout in his religion, he is condemned, he is criticized. And because people have shifted from the line of moderation and they have abandoned faith, so even little religious duties sound extreme and sound too devout for them. So anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ رَأْفَةً وَرَحْمَةً. We favored them with softness and tenderness. As these evil people came about, they killed these disciples of Isa alayhi salam. The second group from the disciples of Isa after his ascension, they stood up to resist this tyrant, this evil power and these evil elements. Again, they were then killed and they were martyred. The third group decided that now it has become very difficult for us to preserve our faith because of the opposition against us. So they decided to leave the social life, abandon a normal natural life and adopt an unnatural life of extremism and monasticism. Now Allah Ta'ala makes reference to this in the Quran. وَرَهْبَانِيَّةً ابْتَدَعُوهَا. Allah praised their intention, but Allah frowned on their action. Allah praised their intention. وَرَهْبَانِيَّةً ابْتَدَعُوهَا. Monasticism, which they innovated, which they initiated. مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ. We never ordained it because it is unnatural. We never ordained monasticism or extremism. We find the amount of, sins that are happening and the evils that are happening and so many other related things that are happening in the ministries and many other, crimes that have been committed. وَرَهْبَانِيَّةً ابْتَدَعُوهَا. They innovated it, they initiated it. مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ. We never ordained it upon them. إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ. The intention was noble, to obey Allah. فَمَا رَعَوْهَا حَقَّ رِعَايَتِهَا. But they could not diligently honor the implications and the obligations of this year. simply because it was not in harmony with human nature. It was not in harmony with human nature. That is why Allah had never ordained it, and nor could they honor it. The scholars give the example in the following way. It is not compulsory or obligatory upon a person to fast in any month besides Ramadan. But if a man takes an oath upon himself, I will fast the whole of Rajab, well and good, that's a good intention. Once you've started the action, now you've got to honor it. If you fail to honor it after you've started, there are consequences. وَلَا تُبْتِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ If a person decides to perform an optional 2 rakat, excellent, he will be rewarded. If he doesn't perform, he will not be punished. But if he commences the salah and then he breaks it, now to repeat that salah is wajib. Why? Because you innovate in something, you initiate in something, so honor it. So basically what I'm saying is, they then went there, but they couldn't honor it. They couldn't honor it. Why? Because it was contrary to human nature. In essence, extremism was never ever advocated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, throughout the times, it was a balanced religion. It was that of moderation. We take the incident, the famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, whoever will discard any of my practices, whoever will shun my teachings, then he is not from amongst me. It is noteworthy to reflect over the background of this hadith so that we understand the circumstances that led to this hadith. The hadith says, man raghiba an sunnati, whoever will shun my practices, abandon my teachings, he is not of me. Now, generally we would associate this hadith with religious activities. But if you look at the background of this hadith, this was said at the time when those three sahaba came to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they inquired about his happenings, about his activities, about his night, about his day. And our honorable mother and his honorable consort, Aisha radiallahu anha, said, well, it's a very balanced life. He would at times sleep with us, at times he'd spend it in ibadat. He would occasionally fast, he would occasionally eat. So there was a balance in his life. They had a perception that being the Nabi of Allah, we're going to hear, 24 hours of absolute worship, and there is no social activity. So they, trivialized it to a degree. They felt that, we expected more. Anyway, they expressed their sentiments, and they pledged among themselves that I will fast for the rest of my life. The other said, I will not marry. The third said, I will spend the night in ibadat. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned, and Aisha radiallahu anha narrated this year, what were the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, "For wallahi inna ahfadakum li hududihi la ana." Remember, nobody can fear Allah more than I. Nobody can fear Allah more than I. Hence, my life is a reflection of fearing Allah. And both the moderation as well as the ibadat is a reflection of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever will abandon this moderation is not part of me. So what I'm saying, these are terminologies that have been thrown out and splashed out, and they're creating a new sect and a new division, that there is the devout Muslim, there is the extreme Muslim. Unfortunately, today there isn't the moderate Muslim. The moderate Muslim is a devout Muslim, but not devout with evil connotations as it is said to the world. I mean, like I said, I will show you through Quran and Hadith that when Sahaba, let me give you a few examples. Allah Ta'ala speaks about this here in the Quran. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا That those who, when they spend, they are not extravagant, nor do they mise, but they have a moderate way. They are moderate in their expenses, and they adopt this moderation. You know, someone said, لَا خَيْرَ فِي الْإِسْرَافِ There's no good in extravagance. So a beautiful answer was given. Well, there is no extravagance when it comes to good also. There is no extravagance when it comes to good. Take, for example, the incident of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala gave and made this deen complete. And it was part of the completion and the perfection of this faith that there was moderate principles that were put in place. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has exhorted us to adopt moderation even in our expenses. He said, "Ma 'ala man iqtasad," the one who's moderate in his expenses will never see poverty. Now with the festive season, and we hear South Africans, you know, spend more than they earn, and so much in red, and so much in deficit. Really, if we take to heart the principle of moderation as defined by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, you will never see poverty. In fact, yesterday I came across a riwayat where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was speaking to the Sahaba, and then he spoke about the privileges of Dawood and Sulaiman. We know Allah had favored them with many favors. Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah had made the wind subservient. وَلِسُلَيْمَانَ الرِّيحَ غُدُوُّهَا شَهْرٌ وَرَوَاحُهَا شَهْرٌ. That in the morning he would cover the journey of a month, in the afternoon he would cover the journey of a month. And you know how many hundreds of people, we heard that the latest now Airbus is out carrying 550 passengers. And I think it was doing its rounds here at our airport. And you know, it's got an ear-piercing sound. And wow, it's a spectacular view. And you know, onlookers were there and it made a big noise. Hundreds, thousands of people would get on. Another unique thing of the wind of Sulaiman, the Quran says, رُخَاءً حَيْثُ أَصَاب. It was polite, it was gentle. So it would not disturb the atmosphere. It would not upset the birds. It would not create any harm to the creation in any way. This was. Then Allah Ta'ala says, وَمِنَ الشَّيَاطِينِ وَمِنَ الْجِنِّ مَنْ يَعْمَلُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِ. Allah had made the jinnat subservient to him. يَعْمَلُونَ لَهُ مَا يَشَاءُ مِنْ مَحَارِيبُ وَتَمَاثِيلُ وَجِفَانُ. They would make for him massive buildings. They would make for him monuments. They would make for him massive tankers. وَقُدُورِ الرَّاسِيَاتِ. Massive, pots. اِعْمَلُوا آلَ دَاوُودَ شُكْرًا. Then Allah goes on to say, just speaking about the virtues that Allah gave Dawood and Sulaiman. وَأَسَلْنَا لَهُ عَيْنَ الْقِطْرِ. Categoric mention in the 22nd juz. Allah says, we caused a spring of molten lead to flow from the earth, the distance of which was 3 days. This is how vast the spring was. It came out from Sana'a in Yemen, according to the quotation of Abdullah ibn Abbas. It was not too hot that it was difficult for him to use. Allah had given him all these privileges. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever has three qualities, Allah will favor him with all the virtues that he gave the family and the descendants of Dawood. Sahaba said, what is it, O Nabi of Allah, when the man has been favored so much? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who has balance and moderation in his decisions, whether it is anger or happiness. He's got focus and his balance. Number two, the one who's got moderation in his expenses, whether he's poor or he's wealthy. The one who can fear Allah openly or in secret. Those are the three qualities. So Islam encourages us moderation on every front. Another incident from the Quran. Sahaba ikram, I mean, we are facing an extremism of indulgence. And I want to touch on that briefly. The irony for me is that when extremism is condemned in religion, and religion per se is noble and wonderful, and it will bring about noble citizens in society, can we imagine the need to condemn the extremism in indulgence? But yet that is not condemned, that is accepted. Why? Because it generates an income. So regardless of the consequences of alcohol or abuse or whatever it is, it generates a healthy income, so it will be promoted. Allah Ta'ala speaks about Sahaba, and this shows us how beautiful our faith is. Amongst the Sahaba, there were those that had an extreme level of modesty. The concluding verses of the 11th juz of the Quran, that when they would go to relieve themselves, or they would have relation with their partner, and they would expose themselves in absolute seclusion, then at that time also, a guilt would grip their heart, that you know what, my private organs are exposed, and my Allah is watching me. So because of that extreme level of consciousness of Allah, they would then crouch and they would bend over their private organs to conceal it. Now obviously, while the intention was noble, but this was now going over the mark. And this was making it difficult for people to follow, that in seclusion, out of necessity, for limited time, at that moment also, Allah revealed the verse and Allah disciplined them. Allah said, no, this is going off the mark. أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ يَثْنُونَ صُدُورَهُمْ لِيَسْتَخْفُوا مِنْ أَلَا حِينَ يَسْتَغْشُونَ ثِيَابَهُمْ. Allah said, cover yourself from other people's view. But with regards to trying to block yourself from the view of Allah, then Allah answers by saying, there is no time you can cover Allah, because clothing doesn't block His view. Clothing doesn't block His view. But what I'm saying is, look at the beauty of Islam. Look at the beauty. Immediately Allah came and Allah rescued them. And Allah said, while the intention is noble, but this is a religion of moderation. This is a religion. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about other nations, how they dealt with their wives during the period that they experienced their monthly cycle. There were those that indulged in relation despite that period. And there were those that shunned their wives totally during the period. Islam said, come close to her. The riwayat of Bukhari, Abu Bakr, Aisha radiallahu anha said, I used to experience my monthly cycle and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his blessed head in my lap. So do not indulge in relation, but do not shun her either. The balance is come close to her, but have no physical relation. This is the moderation of Islam. Another incident. Amongst the Sahaba, there was this consciousness of Allah. So, at times they would sit together and eat. The blind Sahabi felt it uncomfortable to eat with the other Sahaba, saying, you know what, I'm blind, I'll eat more. We'll wait for people like that. The guy who comes late can't eat well, all the better. On the other hand, the crippled Sahabi said, I cannot join them because I'll occupy the place of two. Look at the consciousness of Allah. Then the sighted Sahabi, he views it from the other side. He said, no, I can't eat with a blind man. I'll eat more, he'll eat less. The normal able Sahabi said, no, I can't eat with the cripple. The cripple will arrive late. By that time, half the food will be finished. So they started going and becoming very sensitive and petty and stringent laws. They started going into it. And this thing started complicating and tarnishing the image of moderation. Allah revealed the verses and Allah said, no, this is a moderate religion. لَيْسَ عَلَى الْأَعْمَى حَرَجٍ وَلَا عَلَى الْأَعْرَجِ حَرَجٍ وَلَا عَلَى الْمَرِيضِ حَرَجٍ. Let the blind and the sighted eat. Let the able and the crippled eat. These minor things Allah has overlooked it. Let this not bother you and divide you. Then what would happen when they would go out in the path of Allah? They would leave their keys with the sick Sahaba. You know what, I'm going out in the battle, you can take care of my house. So a Sahabi by the name of Harith radiallahu anhu, Harith bin Amr, he left his house keys to a Sahabi by the name of Malik bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. And he said, listen, this house is yours, you know, enjoy it, whatever you want to, it's yours. Today, unfortunately, you know, you have to maybe cut off the phone line and then tell him the house is yours. Otherwise, he'll run a bill, you know what will happen. Anyway, he left the keys. And he went away. When he returned, he found that this man was thin, he was weak, he was lean, he had not used the house, he restricted himself to a corner, he was very particular, he was very conscious. And then he asked him why, he said, no, I wasn't conscious, I wasn't aware, I didn't know if you consent. Allah said, there is no need to become so finicky, so petty, so stringent. Allah has given you consent and Allah has made it permissible. The man has consented, he's given you the keys, Allah has made this possible for you, go and use it and enjoy it. So this is the type of balance and moderation that Islam has encouraged, generally speaking. Now, what I want to mention briefly is that unfortunately we are guilty of the extremism of indulgence in sin. But this has not been condemned. Look at the verse of the Quran. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. As the world, you know, goes onto a party mode and people literally go into, you know, enjoying and indulging. They come to you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they ask you regarding alcohol and intoxicants. What is the opinion? Is it lawful? It is forbidden. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu made dua, Allahumma bayyin lana fil khamri bayanan shafiya. Allah, you want to give us clarity on the matter of intoxicants. Is this lawful or forbidden? So the verse was revealed. Allah said, قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. People will tell you, and I mean, I've heard a lot of programs also, that if you know, alcohol is taken in moderation, in so much quantity per day, it will strengthen your IQ, it will enhance this quality, it will better you on this front. These are the benefits of it. People will tell you regarding the gambling. I mean, now, we just heard now that now the bill has officially been passed, and unfortunately, tragically, we know that now same-sex marriages can take place. Yesterday I was listening, it's in the process of debating of online gambling. Online gambling is now becoming, now regulating the online, you know, because that is, you barely land at an airport and the first thing to meet your site is a casino. So sin is becoming more and more common. So they ask you regarding alcohol and they ask you regarding gambling. They'll tell you that, you know, how many charitable organizations benefited from the lottery. Look at the beauty of Islam. قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ. Tell them, correct, there is benefit in alcohol. And there is benefit in gambling. وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِن نَفْعِهِمَا. But tell them the harm far more outweighs the benefits. You tell me how many charitable organizations benefited from the lottery and how many people suffered. An ordinary man living below the bread line who took his money and bought bread and milk is now buying airtime and joining the lottery, you know, this queue. I mean, honestly, how many times I tell that person, and I look at this person, I say, you know what, you're not going to win, go away. Really, I'm telling you, don't. This is the system that it has become. So Allah says there is benefit, but the harms are worse. The harms are worse. Now categorically, statistics tell us, human logic tells us, a man with half a brain will tell you the harms are more. But yet the entire world in doubt. Is this not extremism? Does this extremism, doesn't this need the strongest form of condemnation? Someone asked a villager, لِمَ لَا تَشْرَبُ الْخَمْرُ. Why don't you drink alcohol? He said, كَيْفَ أَشْرَبُ مَا يَشْرَبُ عَقْلِي. How can I drink something that drinks my brains away? How can I consume something that consumes my logic away? Hasan Basri said, لَوْ كَانَ الْعَقْلُ يُشْتَرَى لَتَغَالَ النَّاسُ فِي ثَمَنِهِ. If human logic and human intellect, if you could freeze a man's brain and you could sell him and you could market it, people would ask exorbitant amounts for intellectual humans. I mean, if hypothetically it was like a chip and you could transfer it, what money won't people attach and what won't they ask? He said, but I'm astonished. I cannot conceive the foolishness of man. He uses his money to destroy his own logic, to destroy his own brains. فَالْعَجْبُ مِمَّنْ يَشْتَرِي بِمَالِهِ مَا يُفْسِدُ. Complete. So Allah revealed the first verse. Allah said that there is benefit, but the harms are worse. But there was no categoric prohibition. Again, Sayyidina Umar said, Allahumma bayyin lana fil amri bayanan, fil khamri bayanan shafiya. Allah, give us clarity on the matter. What happened, some sahaba, it was still permissible, they had consumed alcohol. It was the time of Maghrib, the riwayat is in Ibn Kathir. He came to perform salah. Now obviously the mind was not focused. When you lead in salah and you are not, you know, conscious and you are not sober, you are going to distort the words. And they distorted the Quran. So then the second verse was revealed. The second, bringing it closer to prohibition. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la taqrabu salata wa antum sukara. Do this much, that don't come close to salah when you're intoxicated. Again, there wasn't a clear-cut overall total prohibition. Again, Sayyidina Umar said, Allahumma bayyin lana fil khamri bayanan shafiya. Allah, give us clarity on the matter. Allah then revealed the concluding verse to wrap up the discussion. And Allah said, innamal khamru. Listen, I came across polite, I came across gradual. First I told you there's some benefits and there's some harm. Then I told you avoid it when you pray. But now let me say it as it is. Let me tell you, you know, first I told you, you know what, you had a flu. Let me tell you, you got hepatitis now. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la taqrabu salata. Allah said, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ. Listen, this is extremism. This is sin of its highest kind. Alcohol and gambling. And look at the extent that this is becoming common. But this is not a problem. This has not been extreme. People that are gambling every day, that's not been extreme. People that are drinking in large, that has not been extreme. إِنَّ why? يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ. Through this, the devil wants to disunite you. He wants to cause evil and corruption amongst your ranks. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Will you abandon alcoholism and drinking of intoxicants immediately? Sahaba came out and immediately they had abandoned it. When a person loses his sanity, when he loses his brains, when he loses, I mean, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it in that hadith, and that hadith is so unique. He said, عَلَامَةُ الشَّقَاوَةِ أَرْبَعَةً. There are four signs of a wretched person. There are four signs of an evil person. نِسْيَانُ الذُّنُوبِ الْمَاضِيَةِ وَهِيَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَحْفُوظًا. To forget your past sins when they're well recorded by Allah. To forget your sins when they're well documented by Allah. You've cancelled the debt, but the man you're owing it to, he hasn't cancelled it. You say, no, I don't owe it, but he's got it in his records. He's got it in his record. So here you're losing your senses totally. Number two, ذكر الحسنات وهو لا يدري أقبلت أم ردت. To continuously speak about your good when you don't know if it's accepted or rejected. والنظر إلى من فوقه في الدنيا. To stretch an envious eye to someone who owns a better world than you. والنظر إلى من تحته في الدين. And to look at someone who is less pious than you. That is the signs of a wretched man. So really speaking, brothers, we need to understand the deen Allah has given us, it is a moderate religion. And again, moderation, like every command, has to be understood from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am not at liberty to exercise my logic in deducing moderation. Otherwise, moderation for me will be, you know, perform salah one day, don't perform one day. Give zakat one year, don't give zakat one year. That is my understanding of moderation. And we need to come out of this extremism of indulgence. Undoubtedly, Islam says that you've got to eat. Kulu washrabu wa la tusrifu. Eat, drink, but don't be extreme. Don't indulge. Let this not lead you to sin. I mean, you look at the social evils that are related. Allah Ta'ala condemned the kuffar of Makkah. I conclude with this. Allah condemned the kuffar of Makkah of three of their evils. Number one, مستكبرين به سامرا تهجرون. It was common amongst the Arabs that when it was a moonlit night, they would sit outside and they would chat. The word Samir was used for a moonlit night, and they would wait for that occasion like we would do as, you know, the festive season, Saturday, Braai, occasion, whatever it is. Allah Ta'ala condemned this wrong, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had put an end to this year because sitting in the night, entertaining these social discussions, when a person unfortunately gets involved in the crime of drinking or in drugs or other related, then we see the network around him, the social network, which at times is equally harmful, if not worse than the crime. So really, this is our stance, and this is what the world needs. Condemnation against extremism in indulgence. And it's time we bring about a degree of moderation, meaning coming onto religion. You know, they say the pages of the book, when, you know, they talk of donkey ears, donkey pages or whatever, when the pages have turned onto one side extremely, then to bring it about balance, you've got to turn it on the other extreme. Then only it will level out. Unfortunately, we've gone on the extremism of indulgence. We need to come onto the balance of Islam, the balance of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was the common goal of sending all the prophets. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. We send all the prophets, we send divine scriptures, and we privilege them with the scale, meaning justice, so that there is a balance in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true understanding of moderation, as is desired by Allah, that we live up to it and we honor it. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.